All right, I'm going to ask you please to open your Bibles to Psalm 37 in preparation for a time of prayer. I'd like to begin by focusing on the latter part of verse 4. Psalm 37, verse 4, look at the latter part of the verse where it says, and he there is referring to the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, many Christians will read a verse like that, and they will actually become frustrated by that verse, because as they read it, as they zoom in and focus on this latter part of the verse, they look at it as some kind of a divine shopping spree. Like God has promised to provide all of the things to their heart's content. And of course, that never happens. And that's not what the verse is talking about. But I've heard similar frustrations from people concerning, for instance, the second part of John chapter 15 and verse 7, where Jesus says, "Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." And people have said, "Well, I've asked, but it has never been done unto me." Now, folks, I think we understand, right, that these verses are not guarantees that God is going to give you everything you desire unconditionally, right? You understand that. Because God's promises in prayer are always what? I've said this many times. God's promises in prayer are always conditional. And everything but our salvation. The only thing we have to do to be saved is to believe. But when it comes to God's promises, we see that there is always some sort of condition. Like 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. You remember God told Solomon, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall," and then he lists four things. "If they shall humble themselves, and if they shall pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." And then what's the next word? Then will I hear from heaven, and then will I forgive their sin, and then will I heal their land. So God says, "I promise that I will do my part, that I will fulfill my part if my people hold up their end of the bargain." Now, certainly when you read John chapter 15, Jesus does promise his disciples that they will ask what they will, and it will be given unto them. But the condition in that passage is very clear. In John chapter 15 and verse 7, Jesus says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, then ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." The disciples couldn't expect to receive what they've asked for if they weren't abiding in Christ, or Christ's words weren't abiding in them. They couldn't expect God to answer their prayers. And we have a similar thing here in Psalm 37. Yes, God promises that he's going to give you the desires of your heart. But there are conditions for that happening. And I hope that this will help us in developing our own prayer relationship with the Lord and adding things to our prayers that will give us a greater assurance that our prayers would be answered. Well, in verses 3 to 7 of this chapter, I see four conditions actually that when they're met would give us that assurance of God's promise answer to our prayers. And the first one is seen in verse 3. Psalm 37 and verse 3, the psalmist writes, "Trust in the Lord and do good." Trust in the Lord and do good. Now, this condition actually refers to two actions, right? Trust and do. And we could say it like this. It's referring to faith and obedience. That word trust means to rely totally and peacefully upon God, regardless of the circumstances you may find yourselves in. And then the doing good is the same idea, only under the idea of obedience in those same circumstances. Trust in the Lord, rest in him, and then obey his word. You know, when we walk by sight, and not by faith, our vision is skewed. Why? Because we can only view things as they seem, right? When we look at things as they seem, we generally try to lean upon our own understanding to figure it out. But when we walk by faith, we can see things as they really are according to the Word of God, according to the mind of God. When you put your faith in God and you walk in that faith and you're obedient to the Word, your thinking changes. Your thinking changes from a self focus to a God focus. And folks, you know what that's going to do? It's going to affect the desires of your heart. And so we've got to trust in God. We've got to ensure that we are living by faith, and then we have to obey. That is, we have to step out according to that faith to obey the Word of God. So that's a condition for us to have our prayers answered, for us to have the desires of our heart. The next condition is found in verse 4, where we're told that we must delight ourselves in the Lord. Folks, do you delight in the Lord tonight? And what we're talking about here is that we are to make God the joy and the rejoicing of our spirits. You know, when I think of delighting myself in someone, I, of course, think of my wife. You know, when I met my wife, prior to that, I was so consumed with myself. But once I met my wife, I experienced this joy and this delight. And you know what happened? It affected the desires of my heart. As I said, before I met Sally, I really my wardrobe only consisted of jeans and T-shirts in the summer and jeans and flannel shirts in the wintertime. Before I met Sally, I delighted in myself and I dressed that way because it pleased myself. But after I met my wife, she was the delight of my life. And my concern was pleasing her. And so because it pleased her, corduroys and khakis and polo shirts were added to my wardrobe. And why? Because she was my delight. And I wanted to express that love and that delight to her. And by delighting in her, the desires of my heart changed. And folks, God needs to be our delight. We need to be delighting in God. And I'm telling you, your desires, your spiritual desires, even your physical desires will change as you delight in the Lord. The third condition for God to give us the desires of our heart is verse 5, that we commit our way unto the Lord. Folks, we all have a way. We all have a direction. We all have an agenda. The word translated commit actually means to roll upon. Very interesting word. And the idea here is rolling a very heavy burden onto someone so that they would be able to bear it. The burden that we just don't have the strength to bear. What he's telling us here is that we are to lay that upon the Lord. We are to spiritually, emotionally, and sometimes even physically, lay that upon the Lord. Lay it at His feet. Why? Because He cares for us. We are to cast all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us. And so that burden here is defined as our way. Commit our way unto the Lord. Our way is the way we think also. The Bible tells us that if we are to commit our way unto the Lord, He will direct our thoughts. And what He's talking about here is our course of life, our destiny. Many folks are consumed with trying to set their destiny, trying to plan for their destiny. And what this verse is telling us is that we're to commit our destiny. We're to commit our lives unto the Lord. The person who commits his or her destiny to God's care and guidance will think differently from the person that doesn't, from the person who trusts in the arm of the flesh. And the desires of a person like that, the desires of their heart will be changed also. Well, finally, the last condition to God giving us the desires of our heart is seen in verse 7, where we're told, rest in the Lord. Now, the word rest here isn't the idea of what we typically understand rest to mean. The word rest here isn't referring to relaxing or taking it easy to restore our strength. But the word rest here actually has the idea of quieting oneself. It literally means to be silenced or dumbfounded in the presence of greatness. The idea here is to be still and know that He is God, and to quietly submit to His will. No arguing, no complaining, no lashing out to God, but quietly resting in Him. It really is being willfully resigned to the will of God and patiently bearing His leading in every aspect of our lives. So again, in this condition of rest, a person is subjecting himself or herself to the will of God, and the desires of your heart will reflect that. You see, folks, the condition of the heart referred to in verse 4 is certainly not a self-willed, stubborn, rebellious, selfish heart, is it? No, this is referring to a heart that is trusting, is delighting, is committing and resting in the Lord. The desires of such a heart, folks, are most certainly in conformance with the will of God. We would say that a person like that was truly walking in the Spirit. And when people are living that way, folks, you can count on it. You will be given the answers to your prayers. God will answer your prayer. And you know what I think is interesting? I think it's interesting how the idea of trusting, delighting, committing, and resting really parallels the whole idea of of abiding in Jesus Christ. Now, I assume that we all pray with the hopes of having our prayers answered. Isn't that correct? Why would we pray if we didn't hope that they would be answered? But are we doing our part? We need to think about that. Are we abiding in Christ tonight? Are you loving Him? Are you trusting in Him? Are you delighting in His presence? Are you committed to Him? Are you resting in Him tonight? Are we abiding in the Lord tonight? Well, if not, then even before we begin to pray, we ought to ask God to help us. Help us, God, to be in the right frame of spirit, to ensure that we would have the right desires of our hearts and that they would coincide with the will of God. Is that where you are tonight? I hope that as you go before the Lord in prayer, that you will present these things before Him and that you will add these things to your prayer lives, that God would answer your prayers. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank Thee for the time in Thy Word. I pray that this brief time would just give us something to think about and to meditate upon as we go before Thee in prayer. Our desire, Father, is that Thou wouldst be glorified. Our desire, Lord, is that we would be yielded to Thy will. I pray that Thou wouldst develop in us, Lord, the right kind of attitudes and practices as we develop our prayer relationship with Thee. We love Thee, Father, and we ask these things in Jesus' marvelous name. Amen.